Welcome back to the Low Bottom High Rise Podcast with me, your host, Moira Cassava. And I have something really fun for you guys today and totally different. So I was on my morning walk this morning. I was in the gym working out. I was driving home from dropping the kids. And I was like, gosh, I have to record some content today. And my mind was just all over the place. And I sat down. I was going through the workbooks that I teach in my 2% tribe, going through all the frameworks that I'm so passionate about teaching, and it just wasn't landing. I'm like, what is it that they need to hear today? Well, guys, one of the things that I teach all the time is listen to the whisper, right? And so often when we're up against something and we're just not getting clear on it, or the idea is not coming to us, we've just got to step back and give it space. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to step back and give it some space. And just like that, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Back in January, I delivered my favorite keynote of all time to a women's conference down in Texas. And at the time, I remember coming back to my team and saying, you guys, like, we have to share this keynote on the podcast. Like, everybody needs to hear this. And then this morning, I thought to myself, wait, I don't think we ever shared the keynote. And we didn't. So that is what I am bringing you today. It is truly every single thing bottled in one, right? The best of the best of the best. When somebody asks you and hires you to come speak to a huge audience and deliver, you got to bring the fire, right? And let me just tell you this, a little spoiler alert. The room erupted in a dance party, total dance party at the end of the speech. My jacket may have gotten ripped off and thrown into the crowd. Yes. I sat down after the keynote and I was like, what just happened? Like, what just happened? It was just the energy in that room was off the chart. So I want to share that with you today. So better late than never. Here it is, the keynote from January. Let's dig in.
So listen, Moira didn't have a peachy perfect story. She was a struggling addict that turned into a seven-figure CEO. I'm talking like total, yeah, clap for that, total boss babe. She literally is the number one spot in a billion-dollar company, the number one earner, yet, come on, mentoring so many other people to success. She also has a top 1% rated podcast, yes, and also is the creator of the Book of Proof Journal, which all of our executives got, yes? Put that thing to use. It is based off of proven principles that will help you to succeed. She is just the most authentic, loving, connected, energetic person, and you are going to have to get on your feet to welcome this woman to the stage. Everybody, it is my pleasure to welcome Moira Cassava to the Align stage. Woo! Because girls is players too.
Oh yeah.
Girls is players too.
Oh.
Yeah. I love you, baby. Have some fun.
Yes. Quicker.
Thanks, baby.
Cause oh, girls is players too. My gosh. I am so excited to be here.
Y'all, the energy is better today than yesterday. Like, how is that possible after such a long day? I am so happy to be on this stage, to be able to hopefully give you something that will move you into the 2%, right? Giving you these tools and these tips and these practices that I believe, because I have worked with so many women, that they will completely and totally change the game for you if you let them. But Rudy kind of set me up badly yesterday. We're sitting back there talking to each other about how we're so not funny. And then he turns it into a game, and I'm an Enneagram 3, and I like to win. Ah, there you go. That's one for me. So before we go into the heavy, not heavy, but the deep stuff, I was like, I got to start with this funny story. So this is totally on the fly. I wasn't planning on this, but
it's kind of what I'm talking about today. Being able to pivot, being able to go with the flow, being able to hear that whisper that we're going to talk a lot about and just step into it, right? So I have this beautiful pantsuit that I got at Saks Fifth Avenue. I like, expedited shipping. I called somebody last Friday and I was like, I have an emergency. I'm speaking and I need this thing, this altered. And he's like, oh dear God. Okay, get in here. Like it was a whole situation. I don't have a pantsuit on, right? Like my husband's like, you're not wearing it? And I was like, well, it's white up top and it's super tight and there's stage lights and it's really cold. And so no joke, this was me this morning. Pulling things down, pulling things up. The whisper said, screw it, wear the jeans. So here I am. So here we are, right? In comfortable clothes that I was like, these are my people. Who needs fancy? Who needs fancy? So what I really want to talk to you about, and this is so important to me. We've heard so many incredible stories today about brokenness, about homelessness. And it's my desire, like deep in my heart, that every single time that I'm announced on a stage or, you know, set up for an interview or a podcast or whatever platform I'm on, they like give this huge spiel about all the numbers and the number one this and the 1% this and the best selling this. And I'm like, but people really need to know. Like, people need to know where I came from, right? Like, they need to know because everyone is feeling so broken and so far from that. And I want you to know where it started and how far I've come because I want you to see that in your story too. So as Brooke mentioned, it wasn't a pretty start. And I'll spare you all the gory details, but I will bring you back to January 2nd, 1999. I was 21 years old, living in San Diego, California. I think I just gave away my age. But I was at rock bottom, as rock bottom gets. And just to kind of put that into perspective, I've thought a lot about this the last 2 weeks. I'll get to that. I remember the last holiday I was with my family. I'm the youngest of six Irish Catholic kids. I'm the baby. And I was sitting at this big dinner table. I think it was Easter. I did black out a few years. And I was sitting there and right before dinner, my dad said, hey, I need you to sign your tax return. And I couldn't sign the piece of paper. I couldn't sign the piece of paper. And I just kind of scribbled and I was like, did he see that? Like, it was scary to do, you know, be in that situation in front of my dad. And then we sat down for dinner. And at 21 years old, I couldn't get the fork to my mouth because my hands shook so bad. That's how addicted I was. I was drinking around the clock. As soon as I woke up, I had to drink in order to calm the shakes in order to function. And I had tried to get sober, and it just wasn't working. And on January 2nd, what I remember is sitting there in that apartment, almost catatonic. It was like my brain was stuck on a loop. And that loop was, if I had a gun, I'd kill myself. I need a gun so I can kill myself. How do I get the gun so I can kill myself? Because I didn't see another way out. I tried, and I couldn't get out. And there was a knock at my door, And I opened it up, and it was my friend Devin from 12-Step Rooms. And Devin was this, like, bald head skater dude on the boardwalk in Pacific Beach, Mission Beach, San Diego. And he was 4 months sober from heroin. And Devin just looked at me and he said, you got to go to a meeting. And in that catatonic state, I just thought, I can't. And he said, you got to pray. And I said, I can't. And I remember the next thing. Devin got down on his knees. And so I got down on my knees. I was like, I don't know what we're doing. What's happening? This is awkward. But he grabbed my hand. And he said, well, then I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray over you. And in that moment, there was a whisper that I was meant for more. There was just the tiniest crack of light in the darkness that came in. And somehow I got up and I got to a meeting. And I talked to somebody. And I got to another meeting. And I got to another meeting. And I just kept putting one foot in front of the other, listening to that whisper of what to do next. Sometimes in the darkest days, the what to do next is go take a shower, right? Go feed yourself. Sometimes the whisper says, go write a New York Times bestseller. Yeah. The whisper's always there. So that's a big part of how this person became that person that Brooke announced. So, thank you. And I say I thought a lot about this past couple weeks because around my anniversary, it just, a lot of memories flood back. And I just celebrated 25 years of sobriety. By the grace of God on January 2nd. And so I've really spent my life trying to figure out what happened there, right? Like, how has this occurred? And I truly believe that it comes down to two things. That whisper, but taking action. I didn't say hear the whisper, right? Listen to the whisper to me says hear it and then get into action. That's the differentiator. The other thing, and is God not so freaking good, you guys? Every speaker that has stood on this stage, like I was sitting back there yesterday, I felt like a bull, like, or a horse, I guess, like, you know, getting ready to go out on the racetrack. I was like, Rudy's talking about this. So it was like everybody, it was all intertwined. It's all intertwined. Brooke didn't tell us what to say up here. We didn't talk to each other. How crazy is it how interwoven the light and the neuroscience and the energy and asking ourselves the right questions, Melissa Wiggins, right? We're all saying so much of the same thing. So we are going to dig into how did I rewire my brain? I don't have nothing in my brain, although I do still believe I'm an addict because I do everything obsessively. But nothing in my brain resembles the brain that I had 25 years ago, right? I have completely rewired it to become a new person. The person you see today, I built it. You get to build it. You get to choose. So let's dig into this whisper, because I think it's everything. Before we go there, I do want to share this with you, because I feel like everybody in this room gets it. But we are in a devastating time in a lot of ways, right? Over 60 million people in the United States alone suffer from anxiety and depression. 60 million. 60 million. Think about that when you walk through the airport, right?
Be kinder. Smile. Look people in the eye.
That stat on the other side,
suicide.
The second leading cause of death for our children.
It starts with us.
We don't need to fix them. We need to fix us. And we change them, right? I saw this on Instagram the other day, and it was startling, but we kind of know this. If you take 100 people at the start of their working careers and follow them for the next 40 years, listen to this, y'all. 59 out of the 100 will be broke and dependent on government, family, or friends to take care of them. 59 out of 100. 31, unfortunately, won't even be with us. Five will continue working, not because they want to, but because they have to. Four will be financially okay, and only one will be wealthy. I think there's a lot of fours and ones in this room, I'm just saying, but let's look at the reality and know that it starts with us. It starts with us. So I do want to give you this really quickly. Oh, I think I skipped a slide. Oh, no, I think it's in the wrong order, but that's okay. So go ahead and just scan this next slide, because I actually, now I'm bouncing all over the place. Hang on. I think I'm a little click happy over here. Okay. I actually made something for you last night. I had so many people walking up to me last night asking me questions about the Book of Proof Journal and other things that they've heard me teach on. And I told my team that I was going to do, you know, a video. And they're like losing their minds, because they're like, this is so unprofessional. You can't just make a video on the fly when you're there. We have to pack. We have to do all this stuff. And I was like, but this is what I'm being called to right now. I need to respond to these women in the moment and give them what they need. So I went a little deeper last night, and I was so tired. I was about to fall on my face. And then I was like, but I can't wait to make this video for them, this training. So I want to give this to you so you have it, so that you can go deeper in the practices we're getting ready to talk about. A lot of the questions you guys were asking me in the rooms last night, this is where we went. So just make sure you get a hold of that. So the whisper. We talk about goals. We talk about vision. A lot of people call me the vision queen because I love vision. I really, really, really do. And we have heard so much about needing to know the why behind it, right? We talked about it yesterday. It seems elementary that we need to have a goal and we need to know why. And a lot of that training I'm going to give you, if you struggle with that, like how do I actually craft a vision, that's going to walk you through that whole process. But here's the reality. So many people don't really have the goal, or you've got like 20, and we need some laser focus, right? We need to get clear. And I was thinking backstage, it's so often not... we're not struggling with clarity of what we want, but we are struggling with clarity of what we need to take off our plate so that this thing can happen, right? We need to walk away from what is not serving us to free up time and energy to pursue the goal. So think about, what do you need to take off your plate? What needs to go? What do you need to graduate from, right? And pursue with relentless abandon that vision and that goal that you have. You've got to get clear on that. So what is it for you guys? I want you to ask yourself, what is that whisper? Because like I said, sometimes the whisper is tiny, but sometimes the whisper is huge. And I want to give you this quick little story, because this, you might be able to relate. I went out to California, and from literally November through the new year, I was trying to get clear. I mean, I teach this stuff. I was trying to get clear on like my 2024 goals and what I wanted to do in the world and all this stuff. And I felt really lost. I mean, I put like literally dozens of hours into trying to figure this out. And I told my husband, I was like, I'm going to California. I think I'm going to call Erin. I feel like she'll be a really good sounding board. I'm just so confused. Do you guys know Erin King? She was here last year. Yeah. So Erin King and I go for a walk on the beach. And I'm like mind dumping all of this stuff. And Erin's like, you know, she's walking along beside me. She's just like this little ball of energy. And then she's like, you know, what's the problem? She's like, it sounds like you're totally crystal clear. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I just said to her things like, you know, I've had only a couple moments in my life where I know exactly what my purpose is. And then I go into all this confusion. And she's like, can we go back to the clarity that you had, that you're glossing over? Go back to those moments, grab a hold of them and run towards them. That's the whisper. We just kind of cover it up with all of our other thoughts, right? You've got to grab a hold of that and pursue it. I love reverse engineering goals. I'm a total dork like that. But you got to know that process too, right? And that's in that training I'm sending you. But the question that I like to ask my students or myself is, if I had all the time and the money, all the time and the money in the world, what would I create? Because that question changed my life. That question unlocked dreams and visions and desires that I didn't know were really there. So that's the question. Before you put your head on the pillow tonight, I want you to ask yourself. When you get clear, you automatically get into action. This is my favorite. Step two. I always say contrast equals clarity. Let me give you a really good example. I was walking out with my girlfriends last night, and everyone's like, it's so cold, it's so cold, it's so cold. And I was like, contrast equals clarity. I'm not living anywhere in South Carolina or Texas in January or February. When my kids go to college, I'm out. Like sunny, and literally, I've told my husband this over the last 6 weeks. I'm like, we are not living here in January when the kids are, but truly, that's the vision. And he knows I'm not kidding because he knows me better. But the contrast, what you don't want in your life gives you the clarity for what you do. So you've got to look at, it's freezing. Oh my God, it's freezing. You're like, what a gift. What a gift. This is giving me clarity, right? Because it truly is a gift. It's all a gift. Everyone I work with struggles so hard to craft that vision. And I'm like, okay, well, tell me what's not going well in your life. What do you not like? And I'm like, oh, I don't have enough money. The clients aren't coming to me. You know, my marriage is struggling. I'm like, okay, so I've got 1, 2, and 3 in your vision right there. We want money. We want clients. We want a better relationship. It's so easy yet so complicated. But here's where the shift happened, and Rudy talked a lot about this, right? A lot of us have talked a lot about this. It's the emotion that you're in that changes everything. It's the emotion that I can sit in and go, oh, thank you, what a gift. What a gift. Instead of staying in complaining, staying in negativity, staying in doomsday, right? We get excited about the contrast because it's literally pointing you in the direction of where you want to go. So let's talk failure for a second. Failure's the same thing. And I got news for you, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but successful people have just failed more. Like one of my top people that I mentor, she's gone on to just create wild success and freedom for her family and live this beautiful life. She's like, every time I fail or every time a client walks away, I just think, Moira's done more of this. Moira's gone through more of this. But really, like that's what she's thinking to herself. I need to fail more in order to succeed more. Failure is the path, right? Adversity is what introduces us to ourselves. And if we're in that pain or that failure and we can see the lesson, see the gift, in an instant we shift out of pain and into direction, into action. I had the amazing experience, maybe 10 years ago, of hosting Glennon Melton. You guys know Glennon, right? Do most people know Glennon Doyle? Glennon Doyle. Glennon Doyle Melton. She came to Charleston, and I kind of snuck in like as she was beginning. So I had this great view. I was in the very back row of this theater, and I could see everybody kind of hanging on to her every word, and she's on the stage. And there was a Q&A at the end, and this changed my life. Somebody in the audience raised their hand and said, "How do you find your purpose? How do you find your purpose?" And I sat in that back row just on the edge of my seat, like, give me the answer. Like, tell me. I'm trying to find my purpose. This is right when I was stepping into coaching, ironically. And she said, "Go where you're envious." That's what he's called. She didn't say this, but I will say this. That's what God's calling you to. Go where you're envious. Somebody sent Glennon a New York Times bestseller before she was Glennon Doyle Melton, before she'd written any books, and she was pissed. She didn't like that this author was a New York Times bestselling author. She's like, this is like jealousy, right? This is like, I'm feeling a lot of negativity. And in that moment, she realized that that was a gift, that that was her purpose, that that's what she was supposed to go out into the world and do. And she did. Envy, jealousy. I mean, think about the negative, positive emotion, guys, right? Jealousy and envy is a really dark emotion, creates a lot of friction in relationships. But when we start to restory this and we're like, wait, Moira said envy is a gift. And I'm envious right now. And she said, God's pointing me in that direction. That's meant for me. It will change your life. It will change your life. So contrast equals clarity. Go where you're envious. When you listen to the whisper, you silence the noise. It truly is. It's just that direction, right? And I want to tell you a quick story. I'm like, wait, where am I at on my time? I want to tell you this quick story because I teach, all my mastermind girls have bracelets that say LTTW, listen to the whisper. I feel like if I ever get a tattoo, that's going to be it. Because it's everything. To me, it's everything. You know, at the end of many interviews and podcasts, people always say, is there anything else? I'm like, yes, listen to the whisper. If there's one thing I could teach my children, listen to the whisper. Leah said it. It's never wrong. Maybe that was Jamie. One of them said it. They probably both said it. It's never wrong. That whisper is never, ever, ever wrong. I could tell you thousands of stories in my life, how I ended up in San Diego, California at 21. God needed me there to get sober, right? He knew I probably wouldn't do it anywhere else. That was a whisper. Coming back to the East Coast was a whisper. There's been a million whispers that I've listened to. And so many people ask me, like, I want to be where you're at and I want to do what you're doing. How do I do it? Like, just listen to the whisper. And it's not comfortable, usually, at all, actually. And so I want to share this story that doesn't have to do with business, but I want you to just follow me because I think it'll help you understand what that whisper feels like. So this was many years ago. I had little tiny kids and I have teenagers now. They feel like toddlers sometimes. but it was, how many moms do we have in the room, by the way? Oh my goodness. Okay, my people. So I was at that stage with little tiny kids where I was losing my mind. Like losing my mind. Like I remember this morning so clearly. I was like tip of rage, you know, those mornings with toddlers. And the whisper was like, just call your babysitter and like, you've got all this stuff to do. That was the conundrum. I had all these things I had to do and I was like at my snapping point because I couldn't get anything done with these kids underfoot. And it was like, just call the babysitter. And I was like, guilt, mom guilt. I can't call the babysitter just to get some free time. Like I can call the babysitter when I have to go to work. That's why we had a babysitter. And it was really like mom guilt. And finally I was like, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. It's hard, but I'm gonna do it. And I called the babysitter. She's like, sure, I can be there around 12. And I was like, okay. She shows up. I jump in my car. And I remember this moment so clearly. I put the key in the ignition and I looked at the dash and it was 11:57. And the whisper said, in the moment of like literally eyes brimming with tears, losing my mind, said, go to a meeting. There's a meeting at noon, 1 mile down the street in your neighborhood. It's 11:57. Go to the freaking meeting. You are like literally on the point of crazy. You need a meeting? You don't need to go do all these things, right? I was like, devil angel. I got to do all these things. I got to do all these things. The whole point of hiring the babysitter was so I could do all these things. Go to the meeting. I don't want to go to the meeting. Go to the meeting. I go to the freaking meeting. I go to the meeting. It's packed. It's totally packed. And I like slide in a minute or two late and I sit down in the back, like literally behind a slew of like heads in front of me. And I'm just sitting there. And I think, I get it. Thank you, God. I needed this meeting. But then something else happens. Somebody shares, and out of the blue, I hear the whisper say, you need to share about your sister who had died from addiction 6 months earlier. And I hadn't talked about it yet. But it was, you need to share about your sister because it's going to serve these people. Somebody in this room needs to hear about your sister today. This is the whisper, guys. I don't want to freaking share about my sister. It's too hard. Share about your sister. You know, doing this. I don't want to raise my hand. I listen to the whisper and I raise my hand. And I don't remember what I shared exactly, but I remember the relief I felt because I believe that pain shared is cut in half. And after the meeting, there was this long line of people that wanted to talk to me who had lost children, who had lost siblings, who were going through it right now. And that was like the joy-filled moment where I just thought, God, thank you, God. Thank you for helping me hear the whisper and listen to the whisper. But there's one last piece, because when we walk in the whisper and we heed that call, I believe that God is so freaking good. And the last person in the line walked away. And I went to grab my purse. And there was this one guy, like 15 feet away. And I know exactly what he looks like. And he had like this smirk on his face. And his eyes were just dancing with light. And I hadn't said my sister's name. I mentioned that I'd flown up to Baltimore for her funeral. And he just looked at me and he said, was Molly your sister? And I felt like I had seen a ghost. And I was like, what? He said, I just moved down from Baltimore. Your sister was instrumental in me getting sober. That's what happens when we listen to the whisper. The whisper is everything. And those magic moments, guys, I could tell you 1,000 more stories just like it. You've got to just listen to those little nudges, right? And I think about this in business, and Brooke actually said it earlier. I was thinking about Amberly. And this is like how the whisper shows up in business. I didn't think it was even business. I'm just scrolling Instagram. I see Amberly Lago pop up and I'm like, who is this? Do you ever find those people on Instagram? You're like, oh my God, we're like best friends. They just don't know me yet. Like, and the whisper was like, reach out. And I was like, she's going to think I'm a lunatic. Like, I'm not just reaching out to some strange woman on Instagram. I scrolled back yesterday, Amberly, and I sent you a voice text. And she voice texted me back. But that's the whisper, right? And I think about that, and there's a million things that happened in between. We developed an amazing friendship just because we really are like twins. And then she asked me to speak at her mastermind. Then I meet Brooke Hemingway. Then I speak at Align in a Workshop last year. Now I'm on the big stage, right? Like, that is, we're all trying so freaking hard to figure out our business, and we're not listening to the whisper at all. The whisper will guide you to every room you need to be in, every relationship you need to have, every connection you need to make, every action you need to take. That's the power of the whisper. So, what happens if you're in this audience and you think, I have no idea what she's talking about. I don't hear a whisper, right? Maybe your circumstances, your life situation is louder than the whisper, or it feels like that. I believe that listening to the whisper is just like flexing a muscle. The more you do it, the more you hear it, right? So often it's our own inner voice that's kind of clouding that out, right? We talked a lot about that already in the last couple of days. All that negative self-talk, and we can't hear the whisper. So this is where the neuroscience comes in, and we're going to get into this in a minute, but I want to share first these two women that I work with. I love mentoring women. It's like my favorite thing to do in the whole world. It's what I know is my purpose and what I'm on this earth for, but one of them, she struggles a whole lot. She deals with a lot of insecurity. Sidebar here really quickly. I feel really like strongly about this point. If you are a believer and you don't believe in yourself, that's a huge conflict right there, right? I coach so many women that are devout believers that don't believe in themselves, and I'm like, then you're not a believer. If you say that you are a believer, right, and then you are made in his image, that you are made by the one, and then you don't believe in yourself, how dare we? That's my own self-talk. How dare I? How dare I, right? How dare I hide behind the curtain of insecurity or introvertedness because I'm a total introvert, believe it or not? Well, I'm introverted and I'm kind of insecure. Really? How about that's selfish, actually? That is really freaking selfish, right? We have to care more about other people than we do our own ego. When I say I'm insecure or I'm introverted and I don't want to and this is just me, he's calling you to it. There are people depending on you to step into the action, to throw the life raft, and you're not doing it. How dare we? How dare we rob other people of the impact that they need by us in their lives? We have to listen to the whisper and be called into that action more bravely. So let me go back to these two women. The one that struggles with insecurity and anxiety, and she's always overwhelmed with all the things, right? She can't measure up. She's less than. And then there's this other one who's like a total baddie. She's like time ninja, goals, confident, great with people, great energy. Which one of those do you think is more successful? The second, right? I see a lot of fingers that way. Surprise, I am all of those things. That's me, both people. I can feel insecure. I can feel less than on any given day. You are not special because you think that's you and everyone else is on the confident, amazing, goal-oriented side. Every single person in this room has positives and negatives, right? But guess what? The one that you focus on, that's the one that shows up. Every day I have a choice when I wake up and get out of bed. Do I want to choose to feel overwhelmed? Do I want to choose to feel inferior? Do I want to choose to put on the identity of I don't measure up? Or do I want to shake that off and step into the identity of actually, in a lot of ways, I'm confident. Actually, in a lot of ways, I'm laser focused. You get to choose. So the identity that you create for yourself, that's like at the foundation of everything, y'all. So focus on that identity that's going to serve you. So let's do a quick little lesson in neuroscience. And I didn't really have to do this part because Rudy did it all yesterday. But he said it yesterday, and I'm just going to reiterate the point because it is so important. So our brains are literally like a computer, right? They're just info in, info out. I am a certified master NLP instructor, and so we have, like, I just nerd out on all this stuff. So our brain, and Rudy said this yesterday, every single second, it has millions of bits of information that come at it, right? The lights, the sounds, the snacks in your bag, the fact that you might have to go to the bathroom, like all these things, millions. And our reticular activating system is like a sifter, right? It's like a screen. Who knows about this? Who knows like reticular? Yes, a lot of you guys. Good. So it's like a sifter or a screen that only allows in about 30 to 50 bits a second. The things that you're choosing to focus on. So go back to those two people, right? All the things, you get to choose what you let in. You control this. Do me a favor. Wiggle your big toe. No, wiggle your left big toe. Is it there? Yeah. Your brain's literally just deleting your toes. Just deleting your toes this whole time you're sitting in here. You're not thinking about your toes, but they're there, right? They're there. Do me a favor and go like this. And I want you to imagine, go wide, get comfy with your neighbor. Tell them to listen to the whisper. Yes. So keep holding your hands out. We do some arm circles. Oh, this feels good, actually. Holy yoga. Woo! So good this morning. All of your dreams, every goal, every wish, every hope is in your right hand. Everything you don't want is in your left. The financial insecurity, the lack of clients, the weight, the struggle in your marriage. Now, I want you to look at your left hand. I want you to look at your problems. You have quite literally deleted your goals, your solutions, your dreams. You don't even see them. That's what your brain's doing. Keep your hands up. Look at your dreams, look at your goals, look at your hopes. When you live in the solution, you delete the problems, right? This is powerful stuff. So good when you just get a little knowledge. You're like, whoa. All right, so I think I just got happy with the clicker and went too many times. How do we do this? So the Book of Proof, how many of you guys in here use the Book of Proof, my morning journal? A lot of you guys got it. A lot of you guys use it already. This process was my own personal process. And I started to teach it to the people that were in my inner circle. And I saw the impact in my life and I saw the impact in their life. And there was that whisper, you need to publish this. I'm like, I don't know how to do that, right? But I did. So I put it in a book. And what you're doing during this one-page morning process in the Book of Proof is you're building a case for yourself. Our brains are designed to look for danger and threats and keep us safe. We learned that yesterday. Therefore, your brain is grabbing a hold by default onto all the negative, right? You're financially insecure. Your client just left you. This happened, that happened. You have to override that. You have to every single day wake up and build a case for yourself. How am I winning, right? Where's the universe got my back? Where are things actually magically falling into place? What synchronicities happened? So when we do this, and I am a big believer in reading your goals and your vision every day. Not, I love vision boards, but doing a vision board on January 1st and sticking it on a shelf isn't going to do you any good. You've got to look at it every single day. You have to remind yourself. Remember when I said when you have clarity, you get into action? So this is the loop, right? Vision, goals, got it. Next thing, I'm going to write down on a piece of paper how that's actually happening, right? The ways that I'm winning, the ways the universe has my back, and you start to condition your brain to pick up on those things and not the negative. I mean, sometimes I think I've conditioned my brain like too much. I was thinking about this morning as I was getting ready. I was on a retreat and we were hiking and there was a copperhead. And I was like, and everyone else like screams, they're yelling, they're freaking out. Like literally some of them went into like total anxiety attack. And my girlfriend Erin was like, you've like conditioned your brain a little too far. Cause I'm like, oh, it's God, it's just God's creature. Because I don't, I see what I choose to see, right? I can remember a friend of mine at an event like this came up to me and she was walking kind of down the aisle when she saw me. And she had tears in her eyes. I'm like, hey, what's going on? She's like, I just lost my job. And my gut reaction was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see what God has in store. Like, and then I was like, fix your face, Moyer, fix your face. I was like, literally, because I'm so conditioned to see everything as a gift. And the only reason I have that brain is because I do this morning process, right? I rewire just a tiny bit every single morning. So it stacks up and compounds over time so that I have a different brain. I see the world differently. I interact with the world differently. The world is, my world is different and amazing. You know, I mean, my like living mantra is like everything works out for me. I mean, it's so annoying to my husband. We can be in an airplane. He leans over and he's like, we only have 30 minutes to catch our flight. And he's like almost trying to not say it before it even comes out of his mouth because he's like, this isn't going to fly with her. And I'm like, we're good. Everything always works out for me. Everything always works out for me. Everything always works out for me. And it does. It does. This is the most powerful process that you can put into place. I really, truly believe it, guys. So please watch the video training I sent you. Do this work. It takes 5 minutes every morning. I'll go into this real quick because I just want you to kind of see the bigger picture with vision and goals. And this is actually in your workbook, vision and goals. And then kind of the looking back in your book of proof. So we're all right here. And we have these big visions and big goals. But what we don't realize, sometimes the feelings of insecurity and fear come because that seems so hard. It seems so impossible. It seems so big. But when we look back, and I can tell you, I set crazy goals that seem just literally insane. And on the days where I think, who do I think I am?
Let me ask you a question, guys. Have you been feeling exhausted, brain fog? Just like, where did my energy go? What is happening to my body, namely my midsection? Like what I am doing and what I have always done is not working anymore. I get it, guys. I get it. More than I want to get it. And I've gone down the rabbit hole of hormone health and balancing my hormones and all of the things this past year. And you know, it's interesting. A lot of times people ask me, they're like, do you still run like fitness things and nutrition things? And I'm like, well, yeah, because I'm a high performance coach and our physical body is at the foundation of everything when it comes to high performance, right? If we don't have the energy, we don't have a shot at having the mindset. And so I want to just plug this in here that if you are struggling, as so many people do, as I did for so long, and as I have throughout the years, accountability, the right tools, the right group of people, the right leader, like just having somebody to be able to turn to at a moment's notice, to ask questions when you're struggling, to have recipes that make a difference, to have workouts that work, to have supplements that change the freaking game. It's everything. It's everything. And so if you want to join me in what I call my Soul Body Bootcamp, there's a link in the show notes below. Go ahead and opt into that. And let's do this thing together. We do it actually on a simple text thread where we chat every day. I drop the resources. I do live videos in there. I would love to have you in there. Click the show note link below.
I could never accomplish that. I could never. Who do I think I am? I open up my book of proof and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm the girl that went from that addict that wanted to kill herself to the person I am right now. And if I can do that, I sure as hell can do this. That's how you build belief. That's how you build confidence. You have to look back and give yourself credit and build a case for yourself. Everything that you guys so deeply desire, it comes from listening to that whisper. It comes from chasing that dream. And I know that we share, there's a lot of mamas in here. And what I know is that before I started really pursuing my dream of coaching 10 years ago, I was not living in my purpose. And I was not some horrible negative person, but I was kind of like the rest of the world. Spending my time talking about other people. You know, just, I mean, the default of our society is pretty sad. It's not this room, which is really cool. But as I stepped into my calling, there was a day that I got this text message. It was from a mom of a little girl that was in my little girl's dance class. And it says this: I keep thinking about your Coco. That's my daughter. That she feels so confident in herself to be able to notice and act and compliment another little girl is amazing. It's such a tribute to you, Moira. And the woman you demonstrate yourself to be, she learns from watching you. And I don't say that to fluff my own ego. I say that because that wouldn't have been the case. My little girl wouldn't have been complimenting another little girl unless I stepped into my dream. And there was risk. I was so scared. I was so unsure. I mean, guys, I walked away from my previous business. We had borrowed against our home to keep building that business. When I said, babe, I think I'm going to just step away from that and step over here into coaching. He's like, excuse me? Talk about risk. Talk about scary. Talk about big, huge leaps of faith. Talk about late nights and early mornings and falling on my face and failing. That little girl and that little boy have become who they've become because they've seen their mama sacrifice, hustle, work hard, and pursue her dream. And I always say this because I know how real it is for you moms that we don't pursue the dream because we fear that we're going to take away from our children. It is the exact opposite. You are robbing your children of the highest, best damn version of yourself that you will ever be to them if you don't pursue the calling. This is gonna be a tough one. I was talking to my husband about this morning. I started crying in the bathroom. A few years ago, my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And COVID, stacked. They sent us to the ICU in a glass bubble, only one parent because of COVID. And I laid there in that hospital bed with my little boy, more scared as a parent than I'd ever been in my life. If you remember back to those days, early COVID days, people were dying left and right, specifically people with dual diagnoses. And that's where we were. And I was so scared for his life. I was so scared if he lived through that, what our life was going to look like going forward, what his life was going to look like, how things were going to change. And what if I hadn't pursued my calling 7 years before that? What if I hadn't grown immensely for 7 years? What if I didn't have the tools and the skill set and the armor that I needed to carry me through that? I wouldn't have been able to carry him. But the coolest part was seeing my son and my daughter walk through that too. And they were able to walk through that because of who their mom had become, right? Every heartache, every failure, every horrible thing you've been through, I get it, but it is a gift. It's not a liability, it's an asset. It took me about 15 years of sobriety to not be ashamed anymore, to truly realize my addiction is my superpower. And that might sound crazy, guys, but addiction makes you a little crazy. Like, we got a couple screws loose, right? We do things a little obsessively, compulsively. And I was like, oh, wait, this whole addict thing totally serves me because I can go crush it in a million different areas. I got to put some boundaries on it and be healthy. But it really is the greatest part of me today, right? Whatever you faced, whatever you've walked through, that's your superpower, not the thing that's going to hold you back. We got to lean into that and we have to embrace the hard. And I want to just leave you with this thought that I can remember on my journey of working so freaking hard for my dreams. And I had to understand that I never wanted to stand on a stage. I never wanted to become number one. I never wanted to make six figures, seven figures, and go like, wasn't that hard, right? I wanted to stand on that stage. I wanted to reach that goal exhausted, giving it everything I had and knowing that it was freaking worth it. That's how you want to feel. You're here for the hard. You're here for the growth. You're here for the adversity. We don't sign up to run a marathon because we want to cross the finish line with ease. We're like, oh dear God, you're doing it because you want to see what you're made of, right? This journey that you're on for your dream and your goal, you want to see what you're made of. So when it gets hard, remind yourself, this is what you signed up for. It's time to step into your power. It's time to literally step into the ring. Relentlessly pursue your passion. Relentlessly listen for the whisper and take action. So I want to end with this. I do have to say this because this is the thing everyone quotes me on. When you change a mama, you change a family. And I mean that for you as the mama. When you change, your family changes. But I know a lot of women in this room work with women, right? They're waiting on you to throw the life raft. You will not only save them, but you will save their family. That is 100% the case for me. Please remember that. So we're going to end with a video that I really want you to watch. And I want you to think of yourself. I want you to see yourself in this moment. And I want you to take that step today. We're ready. We are primed. We have had 24 hours of amazingness at Align. It's time to step into the ring, to chase the dream, to take everything off your plate, and to freaking make some commitments and go for it. All right. So, trying to get to the video. Maybe I should go over here. Here we go. Take a listen. Has anyone seen this? It's like my favorite video of all time. Can we turn it up? We need sound. Oh, no. Technical difficulties. We'll rewind it. They're working on it. Yeah. I see them. I don't know.
Benj and Justin have just written this new song called This Is Me. And we knew that it was going to be the anthem of the film, but no one had heard it before. And no one had heard Kiala sing it live. Kiala, who I didn't even want to come out from behind the music stand.
I didn't.
I kept saying to her, just step out because this is your moment and you have to step out into the ring, metaphorically, because that's what you're doing and you got to stand right there in front of everyone and just belt this out.
And I didn't want to. In fact, I stood behind that music stand until the day of that presentation. There was a moment in the song that I actually was so scared that I had to actually grab Hugh's hand so that I had somebody to hold on to. And then we got to the end of the number, and all I remember is just deafening, deafening applause. It was a sort of otherworldly experience.
It was one of those moments that will stay with me the rest of my life. Unfortunately, we filmed it.
I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. Learn to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say. No one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down. I know that there's a place for us. For all we are glorious. When the sharpest words won't cut me down. But it seems that I'm gonna try.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining. I hope the audio wasn't horrible. I hope it wasn't too terrible for you. I hope you got what all of those women in that room got on that day. I hope you walked away from this inspired. I hope you walked away with tangible steps that this is going to get you into action. You guys, message me, shoot me a DM on Instagram, shoot me an email. Let me know if you have questions. Let me know if you have thoughts. I'm also going to link below just because this is something that I am doing more of this year, and I haven't talked a lot about it. But I am getting, you know, booked out a lot more for speaking events. It's something that I've kind of said no to in the past because I didn't want to travel. But I made a decision earlier this year that that is what God's calling me to, and that I needed to be obedient in that. And so it's going to open up just space in my calendar for one speaking engagement a month, and that is it. So I've got a few months open on the calendar for the rest of the year. So I've got that link below if you want to use that, if you want to pass it along to a friend. But again, thank you for joining, and make sure you share the episode, and we will see you next week.